Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. Earlier this year, President Trump signed four executive orders designed to lower the cost of prescription drugs. One of those orders allows for insulins and other medications, such as biologics, to be imported from countries like Canada, where the same products sold in the United States are sold at lower prices. Since the signing, the FDA has officially adopted a final rule to implement the plans. The rule, dubbed as the Safe Importation Action Plan, permits states and indigenous tribes, as well as some pharmacies and wholesalers, permission to submit importation program proposals to the FDA for review and authorization. Although HHS and federal officials believe the plan has real potential to lower costs, some experts see the plan as both ineffective and possibly dangerous. We sat down with Dr. Wayne Weingarten, a senior fellow in business and economics at the Pacific Research Institute, also known as PRI, and director of PRI's Center for Medical Economics and Innovation, to discuss why this plan is so controversial and what steps should be taken instead to help lower drug costs. So, Wayne, what is your biggest issue regarding importing drugs from Canada?
My biggest issue? I'm going to have to answer that with two. It's a non-answer. So it's all slogan, no kind of nothing there. And it opens up risks to counterfeiting and all sorts of other issues that are already a problem, where you've seen evidence of pharmacies that claim to be Canadian pharmacies and they're actually importing fake drugs from God knows where because you're bypassing the FDA system. And the Minister of Health has already clearly stated they're not going to let drugs be exported from their perspective to the U.S. because they're going to actually then create even more shortages in Canada if they were to do that. So it's completely not in their interest. We also have access to twice as many of the new drugs, basically, or close to, than they do. So there's many drugs where it's not even an issue. And most importantly, and no, I'm answering not just one, we have some issues with the drug pricing system. We need to fix those. This is not a fix to the problems we have. It's a slogan. It's a way to say that you're doing something when you're not actually fixing our problems. And it's just not a reasonable solution that's going to actually change anything. And it does open us up to more counterfeiting, which is a large enough problem as is.
In one of our recent interviews with you, you stated that price controls are also not going to help lower drug prices in the United States because they disincentivize innovation. Can you explain that in a little more detail?
Sure. For drug regulation, we're trying to strike the balance between innovation and affordability. And if you look at actually the small molecule markets, we've done an excellent job of that. Generics, low-cost generics, $20 or less, are 90% of the market. So you know, we've struck that balance. If you import price controls, you're going to have two impacts. One, if you look at Canada, Germany, you know, the rest of the EU, they don't have access to the same number of medicines we have, and that's because of price controls. So over the last decade, about 90% of all the innovative medicines are available here. In Canada, it's less than half. In Germany, where you have the next highest, you have like maybe two-thirds of the ones available. So you're going to have, if you input price controls, you're going to have access issues to the drugs that are available. But then if you put price controls, what you're also going to do is take away the ability for the companies to cover their cost of capital for developing the innovation. You're talking about $2.6, $2.9 billion, including post-marketing studies per molecule. That's a lot of money. There was a lot of risk involved. So you've got to strike that balance. And we've shown that we can do that with the small molecule markets. And so when you're talking about affordability, often what you're talking about is the biologics market. Yeah. And so there are competitions and we have to improve the ability for biosimilars to compete because that model works. It works in Europe. It works in small molecules. It would work for biologics as well. And then we need to fix the drug pricing system. I mean, those two reforms directly target those areas where drug affordability is an issue. Everything else would just kind of either bringing a sledgehammer that's going to do more damage to a situation we need a scalpel, or you're just doing slogans.
In regard to counterfeit medicines, as you just mentioned, are there any ways the government could help curb importation of these drugs? Or is it something that's going to be inevitable no matter what?
Are you saying if we allow for drug importation, is there a way for us to allow for drug importation safely? If that's your question, then no, we can't. There's a very large counterfeiting drug problem globally right now. I mean, where it's clandestine by definition, but people are guessing $200 to $430 billion a year globally. You know, in some places, in developing countries, you're talking about more than half, upwards to 80% of the medicines are actually fake. And if you're lucky, it has no active ingredients at all. If you're unlucky, it has dangerous chemicals. So this is a problem that proliferates. And so if we open up to importation, it makes it that much more difficult for the FDA to monitor the drug supply chain. And so doing that, you're really opening ourselves up to all of these nefarious forces that are out there when we really need to be working on reforms that secure the supply chain. This is just creating more avenues and also creating more incentives for people to go seek those out, not realizing that they could actually be seeking out medicines that are dangerous for them.
What would be a better solution, in your opinion?
No, that's what I had mentioned earlier. I mean, a better solution is promote competition in the biologic space, because drug affordability is a targeted problem, right? If 90% of the prescriptions that are issued over the counter are generic, most people have access to affordable medications. So it's a targeted issue. So one, you have to deal with the biologics by creating greater biosimilar competition. Two, you've got to fix our drug pricing system. It's a very complicated problem, but essentially the way it's like a Rube Goldberg machine that ends up putting an undue burden on patients when that's not the way that the insurance designs really should work. That needs to be fixed. And then, you know, ideally, if we fix the drug pricing system, if we created more competition, we do need to have some type of cap, especially for Medicare patients, where some people, their drug affordability problem arises because, I didn't term this, but I love the term, the prescription drug escalator, where you get older, you take more medications. So if you're on one generic, $10 a month, it's affordable. If you're on 15, it's a lot less affordable. So, you know, we need some sort of out-of-pocket cap where insurance is actually playing the role of preventing the financial consequences, you know, health issues. Those types of things could actually meaningfully address the targeted areas where the drug affordability problem exists while we're still protecting innovation and still protecting the safety of the drug supply.
Well, Wayne, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.